So, Sammy, thank you for giving me a little bit of time this morning to wrap up a couple of things I didn't get to in the previous 2 weeks. I will try to be quick with this. Hopefully everyone has the source sheets. I'm not going to go into all the nuances and details one could go into. Just want to address two things. Number one, the question of for whom does Talia work? When we talk about making the assumption that a person will not use our assistance in an inappropriate way. And number two, the issue of lifne de lifne, the aiding somebody in a way that causes them to aid somebody else to sin. So, in terms of the issue of for whom Talia works, I started on this last time, but I was rushing with it, and as Sammy directly noted, I was in direct contradiction of Yerushalmi, which I had used within the Shiur itself. So I'm glad to have the opportunity to clear this up. We deal with three categories of people. Number one, the chashud, the person who is suspected of violating Yisurim, for violating prohibitions. Number two, an am haaretz, someone who, in general, we have concerns about their observance, knowledge level, and so on. What do we assume about them regarding Shemitah? And number three, an unknown person. You meet somebody for the first time. What assumptions do you make about this person? So in terms of the chashud, we're actually fairly clear. Here in the source Aleph, you see, what I had already brought in the Shir last time from Rabbi Yonah, who says, our Mishnah, which talks about the Uman selling Kalim, selling tools during Shemitah, specifically says you are allowed to sell it to a chashud, to somebody who is suspected of violating Shemitah. That wasn't in the Mishnah, but that's Rabbi Yonah's statement. I did think that it was strange, because later on we see Mishnayos that specify a chashuda, and that Mishnah did not do so. Aval Pichain, that's the understanding that we have, that our Mishnayos, which say you're allowed to sell equipment that could be used for prohibited or permitted purposes, you're allowed to provide barrels and so forth, is talking about when you're dealing with somebody who is chashud, somebody who is suspected of violating Shemitah. So clearly, we are tola when we're dealing with somebody who is suspected of violating Shemitah, and that leads to certain kulos in practice. I brought you on the sheet in Source Gimel and Source Dalid a couple of relatively modern tshuvos on this issue. We're not going to go through them inside, but I highlighted the key text. Rav Avadia, that's his classic tshuva, the issue of selling non-sanua clothing. And the concern, are you in violation of Lifnei Iver, or could you be Tola, that they're going to attach sleeves to it, and so forth. And then Rabbi Israel Hildesheimer, talking about selling a property to somebody who is known to be affiliated with building temples that will be used for religions other than Judaism. So in both cases, they bring the possibility of Talia, even though we're dealing with people who are Chashudim. So what about an Am Haaretz when we're talking about Shemitah? We already know, because we saw it in the Mishnayos, that when you're talking about Tumah, we treat the Am Haaretz as Chashud, as suspected of violating Shemitah. That was very clear-cut. Violating Tumah, sorry, not violating, but becoming Tameh and therefore creating certain problems. But what about regarding Shemitah? So we have two different views. It seems to be a machlokes between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. The Rambam's view is that an Am Haaretz is better than a Chashud, but not by a whole lot. If you take a look in Source Hay, I brought you the Rambam from Shmita Yoval Perek Ches, he says in Halacha Yugim of a Choldaver Shenuchai B'Maisros dot dot dot, Hare Elu Nukachan Mikolodim B'Shvias, anything that doesn't need to be tithed, you can purchase it from anybody during Shemitah. And then he says, in Halacha Yedalid, Bamed Devar Mamurim, when is this true that you could buy it from anybody? Be'am Haaretz Stam. You're allowed to buy it from an Am Haaretz Stam. You don't have to worry that it was illegally planted, worked, harvested during Shemitah in a way that would prohibit you from using this produce. As opposed to somebody who is Chashud, that's a different story. Ein lochen mimenu davar sheyesh lav zika shviyas klal. You're not allowed to purchase anything that could have a Shemitah problem. So the Rambam's position is that estam am haaretz, whose Shemitah issues are unknown, but in general he's an am haaretz, is better than the chashud. You're allowed to buy this from him. You have some level of talia, which we are willing to accept. The Derech Emunah, in Source Vav clarifies and says, as I highlighted there, Distam Am Ha'aretz Chashuda Lashvias. A Stam Am Ha'aretz is suspected of violating Shemitah, however, Lo Kansu Kmo B'Chashud Vadai. We don't find him like a full-blown Chashud where we'll say, don't buy stuff from him. That far we won't go. That's one view. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam is more lenient. If you take a look at Source Zion, there's a Mishnah in Bechoros. Hechashud al Hashvius eino chashud al Hamaisros. Somebody who is suspected of violating Shemitah is not automatically assumed that to be someone who would violate Maiser, and vice versa as well. Somebody who is suspected of violating Maiser is not necessarily suspected of violating Shemitah. And someone who's suspected for both of these is suspected of taking Tumat Tahara less than seriously. So that's a Mishnah in Bechoros that you need to know in order to approach Rabbeinu Tam. Take a look at Source Ches, where you see the Gemara in Ksuvos that Rabbeinu Tam is commenting on. He's dealing with the issue of credibility of merchants. So, Hachamarin Shenich Nesuleir. You have donkey drivers who come into town and they have grain. Va'amar echad mehen shalich hadash v'shachaviri yashan. One of them says, my stuff is new, the other guy's stuff is old, or my stuff is not tithed, the other guy's stuff is tithed. In other words, we assume he's saying something positive about the other guy's stuff. From a halachic perspective, his stuff is better halachically than mine. Eino ne'eman, he's not credible because the Tanakhama is concerned that maybe he gets to the next town and they reverse it. So they have a deal. So even though he's saying something positive about the other guy's stuff, and he's saying something bad about his, we're not going to assume that what he's saying is true. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, Nem. So Tosfos, on that, in Source Tes, first points out Rashi's view regarding Chadash and Yashan here, that maybe it's talking about Chadash and Yashan like pre-Omer, post-Omer, but he disagrees. He disagrees with Rashi's explanation. And then he gives you another view that it's referring to Shemitah. That when he says, my stuff is new, what he means is my stuff is from Shemitah, and therefore it has to be treated like Shemitah produce, Biur, Kedusha, Shvius, the whole gamut. Whereas the other guy's stuff is old, it's from pre-Shemitah. And then we get Ve'ein Ner L'Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees, and this is the part that's relevant for us. Distam ame ha'aretz lo nechshedu ashvias. He says, you can't tell me that if a merchant says, this stuff is Shemitah, this stuff is not, we're not going to believe him. Of course we're going to believe him. We believe merchants because we believe people in general regarding Shemitah. Distam ame ha'aretz lo nechshedu ashvias. You assume that ame ha'aretz are not violating Shemitah. Disnan, he quotes you our Mishnah in Bechoros, which we saw in Source Zion, that somebody who is suspected of violating Meiser, added in Shani, is not suspected of violating Shvius, and so on. Alma distama enan chashud in Ashvius. So he says, you see that an Am Haaretz Stam is not suspected of violating Shemitah. Otherwise, why would you say someone who's chashud for Meiser is not chashud for Shvius? So therefore, Tosfo says, based on the Mishnah in Bechoros, that we actually treat somebody who is an Am Ha'aretz as just fine regarding Shemitah. Not only like what the Rambam said, that begrudgingly will say you're allowed to purchase stuff from him, but in general, we treat this guy as not suspected at all. Now, the truth of the matter is that I had a problem with this because of a Gemara in Gittin. If you take a look at Source Yud, and I really don't know what to do with this Gemara. The Gemara here is talking about somebody who plants during Shemitah, accidentally, b'shogeg. A person plants b'shogeg during Shemitah. Do we require that person to uproot that which he planted? Everyone following me? I'm going very quickly because I want to leave Rav Sammy as much time as possible, so I apologize for not being interactive. This is part of the Gemara's bigger discussion of the issue of kansu shogeg atu mezid. If somebody violates the law accidentally, do we punish him for it because we want to make sure that people don't come to do this intentionally? So will we say, even though you planted by accident during Shemitah, you didn't know it was Shemitah, you didn't realize this, but however your shogeg case is, You didn't realize that moving your pot from inside the house to outside the house is planting. So will we make you reverse that or not? So take a look at the Gemara in Gittin. Verami de Rabbi Meir, I added in the bracketed words, de Kamar de lo kansin and shogigatu mezid, ad de Rabbi Meir bid de oraisa. Rabbi Meir is of the view that you do not punish people who do it b'shogeg. So we challenge it. There's a whole concept of distinguishing what if it's a derabbanan and what if it's a deraisa, but Rabbi Meir's position is we do not punish a person who does it b'shogeg. And we challenge Rabbi Meir, disanya, because there's a braisa that says, hanotea b'shabbos b'shogeg yikayim. B'mezid yayakir, if a person plants on Shabbos accidentally, let him keep the plant. U'b'shvias, during Shemitah, Bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, yeyakir, divar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, if he does it by accident in Shemitah, we do make him uproot it. I don't understand. You said we are not fining the person who does it b'shogeg. Why are we fining this guy who planted during Shemitah? And then Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, who normally says we do fine people, says in Shemitah you get to keep it, and on Shabbos you don't get to keep it. So the Gemara says, first of all, you asked me this question about Rabbi Meir's Shita in particular, ask the question in general. This whole Gemara is inconsistent. Either you should say, he plants on Shabbos, he plants in Shemitah, get rid of it. Or, he plants on Shabbos, he plants in Shemitah, don't get rid of it. Why are you splitting it where Rabbi Meir is willing to say that on Shabbos, you can keep it? Shemitah, you can't keep it. And Rabbi Yehuda's flipping it. Why are these two different views? Ella hasam kediksani taimas. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Here's our issue. Amar Rabbi Meir, we're in the beginning of the fourth line in Source Yud. Mipnei ma'ani omer b'shabbos b'shogeg yikayim b'mezid ye'akir b'shvias, etc. Mipnei she Yisrael monin l'shvias. The issue is that you plant a tree, right? This is noteya. You're planting a tree. So you have to be concerned that it's going to be Arla. You're going to tell people this is a year 2 tree. This is a year 3 tree. They're going to do the math. And they're going to realize this was planted during Shemitah. And therefore, you can't leave this tree in the ground. Because if you leave the tree in the ground, you're broadcasting to the world, this was planted during Shemitah. You get people the idea that you're allowed to plant during Shemitah. So that's why we're makbid when it comes to Shemitah. As opposed to Shabbos. No one is going to know this thing was planted on Shabbos. No one's ever going to know that. That's one take. And then the second take, Davar Acher, alternatively, I'll tell you why. Nechshedu Yisrael ala Shvias, velo nechshedu ala Shabbosos. Because people are suspected of violating Shemitah, we don't suspect they're going to violate Shabbos. Therefore, for Shemitah, we're going to say, uproot it. Shabbos, we're not going to say uproot it. To which the Gemara asks, why the Davar Acher? And their answer is because you could defeat the argument that people don't count from Shabbos. There is a halachic way in which Shabbos may actually matter regarding rooting, not going into it. So therefore, we needed the Davar Acher. So the Gemara says, now what do I do with Rabbi Yehuda? How do I understand Rabbi Yehuda? And the Gemara's answer is because in Rabbi Yehuda's land, they took Shemitah very seriously. And they bring you a story of two people who are in some kind of a fight. And one of them said to the other, you're a dyer by dayarta. You're a ger son of a gioris. To which he responded, ha, at least I don't eat Shemitah produce the way you do. Insult fights back in the day. So but the point is that in Rabbi Yehuda's land, they took Shemitah seriously. So I only bring this to say I'm not really clear on this business of whether people are or are not suspected of violation during Shemitah. Rabbeinu Tam is saying off of the Mishnah and Bechoros, clearly an Am Haaretz is not treated as chashud for Shemitah. But here we're finding that lav davka. So I'm not really sure where to go with it. There is a Tosas on Shei Shem on Shvias Hey Vav that I thought might be approaching this, but I didn't really see that it solved the problem. Rav Sammy had a question or a comment, but then his video turned off, so I don't know if he still has a question or comment. I don't know. Yes, so Jeffrey.
It seems from what you're saying, maybe I've got it wrong, but we're not just looking at, what this person actually does or thinks or knows, but also what other people might think because they see the tree. It's also other people's reactions to them that we're taking into account.
I mean, that's definitely true. In the case where it was already planted Bishogeg, that is part of our calculation. 100% true. That is so. I'm really just focusing on the fact that it said chashud. By the way, just Jeffrey, you had asked me the question in advance of the shiur, what about different definitions of an am haaretz? What exactly constitutes an am haaretz? Right? Halavai, we should live up to be an am haaretz. So there actually is material in the Derech Emunah. He discusses am haaretz and what does it mean? What if a person doesn't wear talus and tefillin and things like that and, you know, all sorts of interesting stuff. Last point within this, how do we deal with somebody who is unknown to us? I don't know what his status is at all. So here I just brought you from the Derech Emunah in Source Yid Aleph, who says, Ulekulei Alma and Enya do a mativo aser limster lo dimei shvius, v'tzarek levar mihu kidei lahatir limster lo dimei shvius. We have discussed on other occasions, when engaging in commerce, you're buying Shemitah produce, you can't give you can't give Shemitah money to somebody without knowing that they're going to use it properly. And he says, we hold the Chumra like the Rambam, that an Am Haaretz is assumed to be Chashud al HaShviyas. And then he goes into, that's actually his reference there, Perek Yud and Meiser, in the Derech Emunah. That's where you should look for his standards for what is an Am Haaretz. But he says, for Dmei Shviyas, you would have to. Giving him Perishviyas, you would have to. But otherwise, you would not have to. And that's certainly going to be true within the view of Rabbeinu Tam, that an Am Haaretz is not suspected regarding Shemitah. Then for sure, by a Stam person, there's no reason why I should have to suspect anything.
It's usually a matter of piety or knowledge. Maybe some people are ignorant of it, but would be careful, or for certain things.
Right, so it seems like it's piety, although knowledge will necessarily be incorporated in piety. In other words, knowledge alone is insufficient. The fact that everyone is aware, there are big signs up in every bus stop telling people what to do or not to do, is not sufficient. You definitely need the piety piece. The only question would be, what if you have somebody who's pious, but we're dealing with a fine point, right? It happens in other areas of halacha all the time, where people who are very good people just are not aware of all the nuances of how to do certain malachas on Shabbos, for example. Okay, last issue. Lifne de lifne, providing materials that somebody might make available to somebody who will use them inappropriately. So the core Gemara on this is the Gemara which we saw already last week or the week before, Gemara of Odezara daf Yedalad Amad Aleph. To refresh your memory, I didn't bring it again on the sheet, it's talking about selling Lavona, selling frankincense to people where you know that the person you're selling it to will not use it for Avodah Zarah, but he might sell it to somebody who worships Avodah Zarah. So Abaye said, that's okay. Abaye said, that's fine. We don't have such an Isser. However, take a look at Tosfos, which I brought you here in Yud Beis Yud Gimel. Tosfos is commenting on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Tesvav Amid Beis. Rabba Zavana Uchamrali Yisrael Achashe Limkor La'ove Kochavim. Rabba sold a donkey. This is a donkey, not wine. To a Jew who was suspected he would sell it to an Akum, and there's concern that if he sells it to the Akum is going to misuse it in a certain way that is Aser. So, Amar Le Abaye, my time of Avad Marhachi. So Abaye says to Rabbah, I don't understand. How can you sell it to a Jew who's going to sell it to the Akum? Amar Le, I know the Yisrael Zvini. He said, what's your problem? I'm selling it to a Jew. Yeah, but he's going to turn around and sell it to the Akum. To which he says, I can be Tola. I have no reason to assume he's selling it to an Akum. Maybe he's selling it to a Yisrael. So Tosfos comments on that in Source Yud Gimel. He says, bottom line, if there is a Yisrael you're going to sell it to, who is suspected of selling it to an Akum, you are not allowed to provide it to him. Vim tomar maishnami lifne de la'el. Satosu says, I don't understand. When it comes to the Lavona, right, when it comes to the frankincense, we are concerned about, when it comes to the Lavona, we are not concerned. Abaye says, I'm allowed to sell it to somebody without concern that he might sell it to someone who's going to use it for Avodah Zarah. Lifne de lifne is not a problem. However, over here, you're telling me I'm not allowed to sell the donkey to someone who might sell it to a person who's going to abuse it. So I don't understand. So he says, I'll give you an answer. The answer is, because non-Jews do not have a mitzvah of lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol. That's one of ours. That's not in the 10 mitzvahs that are on the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. The lifnei iver is only ours. So in other words, I am not allowed to provide an isser to an akum who's going to misuse it, because that would be me violating lifnei iver. However, putting an akum in position to provide an isser to somebody else, that's okay, because even if he provides an isser to somebody else, he hasn't done anything wrong. So therefore, there's no issue. So he says, therefore, I can sell frankincense to an akum who isn't personally going to use it for avodah zarah, even if he's going to turn around and provide it to somebody else who will use it for avodah zarah. As opposed to, if I sell the donkey to a Jew who's going to turn around and sell it to an akum who's going to use it inappropriately, then I do have a problem, because then I'm setting up the Jew to violate lifnei iver. So therefore, what we're really saying is, lifnei de lifnei does apply within halacha, but only where the target person you're giving it to is himself under lifnei iver. However, we have a problem. And the problem is, source yadalid. We have a Mishnah, which we've seen now a whole bunch of times, which says that I am allowed to sell kadeh shemen and kadeh yayin up to 5, up to 15. That's okay. And im hevi yoser mikan, which we've talked about, mutter. Umocher la'ovdei kochavim ba'aretz li'yisrael b'chutzal la'aretz. I am allowed to sell it to a Yisrael outside of Israel. I don't understand. Why isn't that lifnei de lifnei? If I sell it to Yisrael outside of Israel, then don't I need to worry that he might bring it to Eretz Yisrael and use it for Shemitah produce inappropriately? So Tiferes Yisrael says this is not an issue. He says, yes, lifnei de lifnei is asur. However, it's too remote a possibility here. This isn't really going to happen. It's in source Tesvav. He says, ein machzik in isur mimakom lamakom. We're not really going to go that far and worry that he's going to bring it to Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah Rishona has a different answer. He says that it's, first of all, unlikely that he's going to do that, bring them to Israel. But he says also it's needed for chayei nefesh. I assume he means the chayei nefesh of the umman who needs to sell barrels. Or maybe not. Maybe it's the purchaser who needs to be able to have barrels for his grain. But it's really a hardship if you're going to create this. Plus, you have the tlios that maybe he isn't going to move it at all to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe he's going to provide it to a non-chashud and so on and so on. Okay, so the bottom line is, though, that lifnei de lifnei is an issue when you are dealing with another Jew who is usher in lifnei iver. I gave you more review questions at the end, but I think I've used enough time, and it's time to hand this off to Rav Sammy, and you can see the she'elot l'chazara here on the sheet. Thank you very much.